Lord, we worship you, come before you, in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that you use me and everyone here as your vessel, God. I thank you for bringing light into my life, love into my life, and I can share that with others. I pray today as a series, Lord, that we could help to understand the people around us, to connect with others, Lord, that might believe differently than we do. That we're able to communicate in a loving manner the things that are important, Lord, to us. We pray, Lord, your anointing, your touch for our teachers, our instructors today. Lord, we have come here as your body, Lord. I pray to be fed by you, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit. As we go from this place, we will be strengthened, we will be encouraged, Lord, and empowered to live out the calling that you have given each and every one of us. I pray this blessing in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Our text today is in 1 Peter 3, 8 through 16. I was watching a YouTube video, and, you know, you just see those trending things and go, okay, what is this? There was this guy that was having a problem with porch pirates. I don't know if you've ever heard that term. A porch pirate evidently is someone who snatches delivery boxes from your porch. I know we use the word lanai. It's the part in the front of the house. But these porch pirates, they come and they grab your boxes, and they're just... This guy wanted to get revenge. So what he does is he's got a camera outside. You've seen those doorbell cameras and stuff? So he puts a camera outside, and he's noticing these people that keep coming up grabbing his stuff. So he decides to get a little revenge. And he makes this thing called a glitter bomb. Now, I've never seen one of these things before, but he puts a ton of glitter in this thing. He makes this box. He puts a camera. Now, this guy's a NASA engineer, so I guess don't mess with NASA engineers, all right? Because they can do stuff. They can get real, you know, when they want to do revenge. So he has these cameras, puts them on each side to record people's reactions of grabbing this box. And in it, he puts this little fan that's going to automatically go off, and it's going to shoot. It's going to blow, like, a ton of glitter all over the place, right? In addition to that, he gets a little vial of fart spray, puts that on a mechanism that gets triggered, and it's on a timer. So it gives just enough time for them to get into their car. So he gets the camera back. This happens. He puts it out there, disguises it as an Amazon delivery package, puts it on his porch. You can see people coming, oh, what's this? And they grab it, like he's looking at the video afterwards, and they get it into their car, and all of a sudden, boom! It's just glitter all over their face, all over the car, and you're seeing this, and then, what is this here? Oh, no, and the fart spray goes off, and they just take the box and pick it up, and they throw it out the car. And I'm thinking, wow. Wow. And he's got a 20-minute video explaining how he did all this stuff, and I'm going, this guy is way smart, yeah? I'm like, but that is a lot of work. It probably costs a lot more money to put together, right? And I began thinking about that because we're looking at, you know, retaliation, revenge. A lot of us might feel we want to take revenge, but it's not always that funny. It's not always about teaching someone a lesson in a cute way. A lot of times it causes hurt. It causes pain in our lives. When we retaliate, it causes hurt and pain in other people's lives. And it can last a long time, right? It's just not worth it. But we have, what do we do with those feelings? We want to get back at somebody because of what they did, right? The Apostle Paul has a scripture here. He tells us this. It's an incredible passage. And notice what he is saying. First Peter, he writes, not the Apostle Paul. I'm sorry, this is Peter, one of the disciples, one of the apostles. And notice what he says here in his letter. He says, suffering, this is the title, suffering for righteousness' sake. He says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. Reviling is like, reviling? What is insult? Insult for insult. I know. Some of these are words that aren't used on a daily basis. But on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and sees good days, let him keep his tongue from evil, his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason, for the hope that is in you. Yet do it, notice that, do it with gentleness and respect. Yeah? We're not seeing a lot of that today, are we? Not a whole lot of gentleness and respect, at least when you turn on the news. It's kind of crazy out there. But Peter is saying, hey, because we believe, if we really have the Spirit of God within us, we should be able to do this. Amen? We should be able to do this. So it's a little bit counterintuitive in a way. But this, fighting to retaliate, you know, in the end, vengeance is mindset, the Lord. In the end, God is the one who deals out justice. God is the one who takes care of those things. We can't take it in and of ourselves. I know it sells movies, right? I mean, think about it. Hollywood gets all anti-gun, but pretty much every blockbuster has tons of guns, right? Right? Guns and explosives and people getting revenge. I mean, it sells. Why? Because it speaks that narrative in the movie, in those summertime movies, it speaks to something within us that goes, yeah, because we're, you know, for 2 hours, we're like, that's right, that's right, that's right. Oh, no, I would never do that. Get them, yeah, yeah. Like, well, it's like, they just cut their head off and, you know, what? You know, and you're cheering this stuff. But see, it speaks to something in us, right? And Peter here is going, look, that's naturally what you feel, but you don't have to do things that way. In fact, do things this way. It's counter to our nature. Counter, it's different. Something spiritual, not natural. I don't know how many guys get on Facebook or social media, Twitter or whatever. But I learned about, I heard this term troll, you know, about internet trolls. And I thought, huh, well, that's not very nice. Because in my mind, okay, I'm thinking Lord of the Rings, you know. And you're calling somebody a troll, they go, well, that's not nice. Because trolls are kind of ugly and the big creatures and... I'm sorry, just too much sci-fi channel for me, I guess, you know. But I learned what it is. It's more, you know, when you go behind a boat and you're casting a line behind the boat and you troll, right? You troll for fish. That's trolling, right? Well, people do that on the internet. Now, you guys may or may not be aware of this, depending upon how savvy you are. But a troll is somebody who... gets on the site, gets on your website, they start making comments to draw you in. They're trying to lure you in. They're trying to bait you into looking like a fool or to get you angry. They like to get you angry, so they're just going. So they'll say stuff that they don't even believe, right? Maybe they believe, maybe they don't believe it. They go, I'm going to be like a Nazi. And so they'll just say stuff in there that nobody in their right mind would ever say that. Yeah, that's right. because they don't really believe it. Now, there are some people out there that believe what they're saying, but the intent of a troll is to lure you in and then to get you all mad, so you start commenting back and say, oh, yeah, really? Well, you're a poofy face, or, you know, there's things I can't say, repeat up here from the pulpit. I mean, it's like, ooh, pastor is just so rated G. But I see this, or I see a fake story, right? You know what clickbait is? Clickbait is this title that sounds crazy, and then you click on it, and the story has nothing to do with whatever the title was. But you keep clicking, especially the slideshows. Next slide, next slide, next slide, next slide. And then you've wasted 15 minutes of your life that you could have been used. I could have just ate an omelet or something. I mean, why did I just do this? I just totally wasted my life. I'll never get that back from clickbait. So now you guys know, be aware. Don't fall for it. Don't you, because Christians, they fall. Oh, it's wow, that's terrible. That's terrible. That's terrible. And all these people are commenting. It's all bogus, right? But there's people that are trolls in real life. You know, they just want to get you into, you know, the guy at work that just wants to argue with you to see what you're going to say. You know, that clown. It just wants to, oh yeah, oh really? Well, what about this? Well, what about that? And they don't care. They just want to see you react, right? So these guys have been around long before the internet. But really the point of what I'm talking about is that we can get ourselves caught up in retaliation or saying something or getting angry or getting over emotional. We got to fight the urge. Amen? Just fight the urge to react. And what about the people that you really know, that you know well? People that have hurt you. See, who cares about, you know, somebody across the other side of the planet that you've never met and their name isn't even actually their real name. It's some crazy made-up thing, right? But what about the people that you know? That you thought you knew, that hurt you, or say things that hurt you, and they don't even know they hurt you, because it's the way they are. Family members, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, kids, parents. It hurts because they're closer, right? And I'm not a stranger to that. I've seen people that have been hurt, and then they talk about their hurt their whole life. There's like me, I've been hurt a ton of times, but I just put it behind me. Why? Because that's maybe like 5% out of the 95% good experiences I have, because I risk. I take the risk of having relationship. I take the risk of reaching out, of loving people. Are some people going to hurt me? Yeah, okay. Welcome to ministry, ladies and gentlemen. You know? And not just being a pastor, but any Christian, if you're going to reach out, you want to love somebody, there is that risk of getting hurt. Family, coworkers, they may not believe what you believe. They may not agree with you on certain things. But you can't walk around all hurt, always offended, always hurt, always carrying this burden. It's kind of like this. Imagine if you were carrying a big box. You guys ever like, you know, you got to carry this huge, heavy box, right? Just both hands. And you kind of gripping it just right, right? Because it's starting to tear along that one corner. And you know, oh boy, I better get this to its destination. I better go from point A to point B. Because if I don't get there, this thing's going to fall all over the place. And then you meet up, someone say, hey, Dave, kind of give me the box. I'll take it for you. No, because I got it. I'm holding it just right. It's got all my stuff in it. I can't drop it. I've been carrying this my whole life. I can't give it over, right? Because I'm holding it just right. No, Dave. Imagine it's Jesus. Dave, give me the box. I don't want to give you the box. Give me the box. I don't want to give you the box. Give me the box. But I got all my experiences, all things in there. I got stuff in that box. I don't want to give you the box. I can help. I can hold it. It won't fall. Are you sure? Are you sure, Jesus? You got it. I can let go, right? Because you know the pass off? You know when you do the pass off, when someone's all, I got it, I got it, are you sure you got it? I got it, are you sure you got it? Are you sure you got it? I know. Do you have it? Do you have it? Okay, let go. I told you. But Jesus is never going to do that to you, amen? Jesus will never let go of the box. If you take all the burdens in your life and all the hurts and all the pains and go, you know what, Lord, this is too heavy. I'm trusting you. I know you can take this. I got it. And walk away. Now you guys are going, oh yeah, right, easier said than done. Let go and let God, right, Dave? Yeah. Is it easy? No, I just illustrated. It's not easy. But the struggle is in your trust in God to handle the burden, that his shoulders are big enough, that your God is powerful enough. And when you put your faith in somebody, you can walk away, right? You train somebody, you know, they do a good job, and you can walk away. You delegate, you walk away as a boss. Ah, they got them, right? How much more we can trust the creator of the universe with our burdens, with our hurts, with our pains, and go, you know what, I don't need this to guide my life anymore. Thank you, Jesus. Just walk away. Is that good? Amen? And see, that we face it every day. We can let all those things guide our lives. You know, spin around in our heads, make us crazy, even make us do crazy things. It's not worth it. There's too much good that we can be doing to be caught up with what we shouldn't be doing. But Jesus talks about this, Peter talks about it, Paul talks about it. It's not just not retaliating, it's not just not walking around all hurt, it's you got to go even further. Jesus said, pray for your enemies and those who persecute you, and Peter says, bless those that curse you. What? Hey, Pastor, I have no problem, you know, just, I'm not going to hold a grudge. Okay, I'm not going to hold a grudge, but now you're going too far. I'm not going to bless somebody who's just cursing me out. I'm not going to bless. How can I bless somebody who's just so mean to me? How can I do that? Because it's not about them. It's about who you represent. You're not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price. Jesus, you belong to Jesus. He's yours, you're his. It's a relationship. This is the problem, is we keep confusing relationship with religion. The creator, the one who created us, desired relationship, pursued relationship, you know, and no matter what we've done to run away from him, cheat on him, he still wants us back. It's crazy, right? That's the topic of the book of Hosea, where it's just God is loves us, but we're like, yeah, right, we're gonna pretend you don't exist. Right. And so we do, but he loves us anyways. Bless those that curse you. How you do it? Just do it. Don't think too hard. Don't. Because the longer you think about it, the more you justify not doing it, right? Because the longer you think about doing good for somebody that doesn't deserve good, the more you have time to think about the reasons why you should do good to somebody who's not doing good to you. That makes sense? You justify it. You flesh out. Right? Layers and layers of fleshly justification. What? These are all the reasons why I don't have to act that way. It's all about me. That's the problem with a lot of these self-help things, these self-help books and seminars, that people don't, it's just a Band-Aid. You feel good for a little while, but you don't get over it. Because you got to go beyond just letting it go. You got to let go, and then you got to turn and bless. It's that kind of power. The reason the self-help books don't help you is that power only comes through Jesus Christ. It only comes through God himself. It only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Can I get an amen? All right, just checking. Checking for a pulse. Now, what about fighting the bigger fight? Religious freedom, fighting for issues that you care about, speaking truth to power. What about that? Oh, I didn't even hit. So, you guys want an outline? Here you go. Ta-da! There's that line. I know, so lazy. Ah, lazy pastor. No, with the big animations and all the transition. Nope, there it is. So, resist the urge to retaliate. Bless, do not curse. Speak truth to authority, right? Sometimes as believers, well, really anything. If you care about something and you want to change something, what's a local saying? No vote, no grumble, right? No vote, no grumble. In other words, if you're not going to participate in trying to change the minds of legislators, of those who represent you, then why are you grumbling? Right? Because you're probably the problem anyways, right? If you're not going to participate in trying to speak truth into that situation. Oh, it's politics. Ah, well, it's life. But not just politics, but I was thinking, because Martin Luther King Day is coming up, right? And he's a hero. An imperfect man, sure, we all are. But a hero nevertheless. And I think one of the great Christian pastors that really had an incredible message that I think we need to hear is that we're all one race. We're the human race, amen? This whole, we might be different ethnicities and whatever, but you know, this is such a small percent of your DNA. So small. Why are we fighting over that? But he wanted everybody to come together. And I was thinking about this, and I don't know if you get a chance, you go onto YouTube and type in Bloody Sunday and take a look at when they're crossing the bridge in Selma, Alabama, and what happens. We're called to speak truth to authority. We're called to do it not with violence, but do it with peace. When Martin Luther King Jr., he as a pastor, mobilized his church and multiple churches, and they were walking across this bridge, and they were doing a public demonstration. Back then, it was kind of like really frowned upon, right? And so you had segregation, mostly in the southern states, where if, depending upon your color, you had to walk into a particular different restroom, or you had to walk into a restaurant in a different way, or couldn't go in there at all. They actually had signs that prohibited you from the color of your skin where you go. I mean, I thank God I didn't grow up in that. But for the people that lived through it, what an incredible time. But they were on this bridge, and they were locked arm in arm. This is in the movie. This is real footage that you'll see. They're locked arm in arm, and women and children, and nobody's fighting, nobody's yelling, nobody's saying anything. None of this riots and the garbage that we see, people setting fire to things. There's none of that kind of stuff going on. They're very peaceful because they're Christians. And they're singing hymns. And they're singing about Jesus. And they're marching across this bridge. And this often gets downplayed, the religious part of it or the Christian part of it. But they're marching across this bridge, arm in arm. And here these police come on, and they've got gas masks, they've got batons, they're riding horses, and they plow just right into this crowd. And they gas them, and they beat them senseless. And they're drained, these poor women. And you know, this happened in 1965, this happened on live TV. America watched with horror for the first time, seeing their own depravity, seeing their own prejudice right in front of them and how bad it had really gotten. A week later, they signed the 1965 Civil Rights Act. It ended segregation. and begin to end the discrimination. Speaking truth to power. It was a non-violent way. You don't have to be violent. You don't have to yell to get your point across. You don't have to be out there with signs and beating people over the head with the Bible. But you do need to speak truth to authority. You do need to do it in a peaceful, gentle, and respectful way. You do need to say, dear representative, dear senator, I pray you would consider this. I pray you would consider this issue, whatever it might be. Things you care about, but especially from a Christian perspective. We want to remain a free nation, free to believe what we want. Amen? And we've got to protect religious freedom, because people don't realize if you get rid of that, you get rid of everything else. Freedom of speech, boom, goes right out the window. Your freedom to say anything is also tied with the freedom of religion. So if you're not a religious person here today, just think about that. It's like a game of Jenga. You pull out one stick, they all fall. We need to speak truth. Amen? You care about it? Speak. But do it with gentleness. Do it with respect. No, act up. local boys are going, yeah. And then be ready with an answer. You know, this is the thing that is a real passion of mine. It's the reason why I feel led to teach these classes. I really believe that the church is the church in America overall right now is at a crossroads. We need to decide if we are going to be for the gospel or against it. Okay, because there are people who I see good on Oprah or whatever. They go on Larry King. They go on these talk shows. And we're all waiting for them to say Jesus, right? We're all waiting for them to just say a simple gospel message. And sometimes they do. And I'm like, oh, that's solid. Oh, they got a pastor on. And pastors will usually, okay, that's good. But then they get somebody on there that's real skittish. You know, they want to make it big in music or whatever. And they're Christian artists. And they're good, right? And they get on there and they just kind of have to feel a little shame. Oh, you know, they talk about God, maybe say God or they say hope, but they blow it, right? And you're going, millions, tens of millions of people are watching, and they could have just simply said what they believe, but somehow they felt they had to hide it. And Christians feel, sometimes in churches, pastors even feel they got to water down the gospel to make it more palatable. More easy to digest. Why? Just say it, right? Say it with gentleness. Say it with love, respect. When I speak, let me be clear. I have believed that when I talk, whether you are a believer or not, you're coming here. Some of you guys believe. Some of you guys are you're struggling a little bit, not sure, but you want information. I'm talking to you. I make it understandable for you. These classes will get you a little deeper into that, answer a lot of those questions you might have. You can ask questions. We can have a dialogue. But this is the thing is, you know, this isn't necessarily evangelism. I want to prepare you people to get out into your workplaces, to go out to the groups, the families, the coworkers that God has assigned you, so you will be ready to have an answer for them. Amen? Some people blow it, right? But this is the thing that Peter's saying, hey, just be willing to have an answer. Read the Bible. Get familiar with the scripture. Take a class. But if you're passionate about something, don't you want to know more about it? If you're passionate about a business, you take classes to learn about that business. If you are passionate about music, you are going to do everything you can to learn the music that you want to do, learning instruments, learning how to record. If you are passionate about Jesus Christ, then you want to get as much into you as you can. Amen? For me, that's my passion, is to teach. I love to see the light bulb come on and go, oh, I love that. And I don't know everything. I'm a perpetual student. I'm always learning, always trying to expose myself. I would encourage you guys. Also, this is the final point here. We need to learn the lost art of conversation. You can't just get mad and offended because somebody doesn't support what you support. Oh, I can't believe, you know, they're like, they believe this or they believe that, or I can't believe, therefore, they fill in the blank, right? And we do that. As Christians, we can get angry, but you can't have a conversation like that because as soon as you get angry, conversation over. And each person goes to their own respective echo chambers. You know? Oh, I'm going to go to church. Oh, this is what I want to hear. Yeah. And they're going to go to their group of friends or wherever they're going. Yep, that's what I want to hear. And nobody talks to each other. But I grew up sitting down having coffee with atheists, Buddhists, people different, or people that were Christian that had different beliefs or thought differently than I did. And I'd always do this. I always ask questions. So why do you think that? Or why do you believe that? I really want to know. You will learn a whole lot more if you ask questions than if you're just a talking head. Amen? If you just ask questions, you get to know them, they get to know you, and then you just naturally share your faith. It shouldn't be like you just, you're not like rolling up a pulpit on wheels like, oh, can I share the gospel with you? Am I making you feel uncomfortable? Oh, I'm sorry. That's my job. I can do this. Oh, but you doing that to somebody feels very unnatural. It's kind of like back in the 80s with the whole, it's almost like you're selling the gospel. Well, let me start my presentation. We're not in Amway, okay? I'm not saying anything about Amway. I'm sorry if you're an Amway person, but I'm just saying we're not trying to sell anything. You're just talking story. You're just sharing. What'd you do Sunday? Oh, I had barbecue. What'd you do Sunday? Well, I went to church and then had family time. Oh, really? What church you go to? Da-da-da-da-da. Boom. You just talk about it. It's not a big deal, right? But we make it. So it's so awkward to talk about Jesus. It's so awkward to talk about. We feel if we talk about anything, right, we're just going to get nailed with a bunch of arrows. Oh, my gosh. I don't want to offend. But conversation, ask questions. If we're going to lead people into Christ, here's the thing. If you want to know the issues, talk about the news, okay? You can talk about what's in the news, and that's great. But don't get angry. Oh, you believe in the wall? I don't believe in the wall. I think it's, okay, wait a minute. That's not how you talk about the wall or whatever. Politics is great because when you talk about something that you know a little bit about, read some articles and whatnot, then those conversations lead to an opportunity for you to talk about what you're really passionate about, which is Jesus. But if you get all hurt and upset about that issue, you're never going to get to Jesus. Oh, blew the opportunity. That makes sense? Right? So you want to talk about the deep things of life, you first got to start. This is the art of conversation. You got to start talking. Yeah, oh, we don't talk about politics or religion in my house. How boring. That's all I talk about. But, oh, Dave, it's getting tense. Don't say it. No. But really, if you want to know things, here's another thing. Don't get your information from the television, okay? If all you get is a bunch of sound bites, you're not going to get the whole story. Read articles, listen to podcasts, listen to two people talking out an issue, having a discussion without arguing over each other. That stuff is entertainment. 90% of what we consider news today is tabloid entertainment. It is not news. Journalism is dead, but it's not totally dead. You've got to hunt it down, find it, and listen to it. There's a lot of intelligent conversations going on in their game, but be careful. It's you're far better to hunt down, to read some articles. I can give you, I don't have time to get into that today on specifics where you can go, but really get educated. Get educated. Don't get frustrated. Get educated. Educate yourself a little bit on some of the issues, and then sit down. And when somebody has a different opinion, go, really? Well, why do you believe that, or why is that your opinion? oh, I didn't think about that, or, right? And you have a back and forth. And then you can get down, and then you begin to get mine into the deeper issues. Philosophy, religion, these kind of things. Now, I'm passionate about that. Some of you, history, immediately you just have this narcolepsy that the moment I mention the word history, just, it's like, well, you know, science, it's like, okay, for you that might not be the most exciting thing, but pick what are good topics that you run into, conversations, maybe that, listen to your coworkers and then go home and study and learn some stuff, right? And when you have that talk, ask questions, and they'll be tripping because you'll be asking questions and you won't get all angry. Well, man, so-and-so, Fred over here and Kimo, they were all angry, right? But you know what? I can talk to you. Open door. It's not hard. Amen? It's not hard to share your life with somebody. You're not selling it. It's not awkward. But we need to get back to the art of conversation. There's so much. You know, don't just watch these YouTube videos where this one guy is telling you how to say something. Listen to podcasts where people are having in-depth interviews for about an hour talking to each other. You can learn so much. Look at the subjects. And again, I don't have time today to get in all that resource, but I would encourage you in that. Man, you can go to PBS, and in 15 minutes you can learn more about what's going on in the world than you will ever learn watching any kind of news channel. In 15 minutes, all of a sudden, they don't argue with each other. They just say a bunch of facts. Or the BBC. And the BBC news is so boring because they're like, I'm not going to even try a British accent here. But, you know, okay, this is what's going around. This is China, and they go through Australia, and they just go through all the countries, all things. Going, man, I learned more in 15 minutes. And they're just not excited. There's no emotion. Like, this is not American news at all, because American news, they're all yelling at each other, right? And you just go BBC, they're just chill. Okay, this happened in China. There was a riot. What's next? Okay, and it's really a trip. But I would just encourage you, educate yourself on what you're passionate about, besides, you know, obviously your faith. But be ready to have an answer so when that opportunity comes, like, well, what about what you believe? Well, let me tell you, right? That's how you get there. So if you were wondering, where do I start? That's how you start, right? Have something to say. Have something to talk about. Don't react angrily. Stop feeding on all the propaganda and the nonsense and the faux outrage and all that stuff. Learn to have a conversation. Life will be a lot more enjoyable. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we come before you. I thank you, Lord, so much for an opportunity, Lord, to talk about these things. I pray, Lord, that we would grow in our knowledge of you. You look around the world and what's going around us and the things that people are struggling with and the issues that they're passionate about, that they're concerned about, that maybe before we dismissed and we thought, oh, that's no big deal, but maybe we ought to take a second look. Maybe we ought to learn a little bit more about our world and what's going on around us and just the day-to-day life. And Lord, would you help give us a passion to reach, a heart to reach our friends, to families, our coworkers, for you. And with that passion, Lord, the passion just fuel our desire to maybe get a little bit more interested, maybe learn a little bit more about the things that they're passionate about so that we can really share about our faith, share about our love. The decision really is up to them, but we want an opportunity to share in a way that is not contentious and not filled with any kind of anger, Lord. Lord, we just love you. We worship you. And I pray, Lord, that your joy would just be overflowing as we go from this place. Pray this all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, God bless you guys. Have a great week.